like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to get in touch with me, your show host, text me. Coming up on the program still, State Representative Danny Garrett, that's a tentative booking. We'll see. He may have a meeting that runs long, and if that's the case, we have a backup, I am told. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth will be with us at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. But joining us now, he's a new member. I'm excited to talk to him. But hails from Tuscaloosa area, taking over what it's now the Brian Brenyark seat, but I've been calling it the Kyle South seat this morning. But State Representative Brian Brenyark joins us on here in the State House. We're in Montgomery, by the way. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Really do appreciate the time. Well, I'm going to ask you this anyway. I said I wouldn't, but Taco Casa.
Oh yeah, Taco Casa, biggest cactus in town.
Do you ascribe to the cult of Taco Casa here?
You know, I love their I call it rabbit ice, the little pellet ice.
Yeah.
For their sweet tea. But other than that, you know, I'm not huge fan of all their other things, so it's all right.
Now, it's a running debate on this program, the Taco Casa, and I'm an Auburn graduate, and I get grief because I'm not the a Taco Casa guy. Well, it must be because you're a Barner or something.
Yeah,
but I've tried it back in the day, drunk. I've tried it sober. I just don't get it. But anyway, you're new to the legislature. Got to talk about that. You still kind of learn your way around. What do you think so far?
I'm brand new. I'm the youngest, the newest member of the House. My election was. The general election was January the 9th. So, you know, I won that and then had to be down here for the House caucus meeting on the 10th. So, I mean, it just happened quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, people win. They get to do a few victory laps. No, you go straight to work.
That's right, straight to work.
Yeah, so you took over for Kyle South and went to go work for the West Alabama Chamber of Commerce, and that kind of set in motion a bunch of special election events, right?
Governor Ivey set the special election in September. So he stepped down the end of June, and I, you know, decided to throw my name in the hat, and there were five other Republican candidates, running, and District 16 is all of Fayette County, northern Tuscaloosa County, the city of Brookwood, which is in Tuscaloosa County, and then it's West Jefferson County, which includes Concord, Rock Creek, North Johns, Oak Grove, and goes all the way up to I-22 and across it at West Jefferson. So it is a tremendously big, sprawled out district.
That is a lot of geography there. Primarily a lot of population around Tuscaloosa, but then it stretches out north of there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing we've got is the city of Fayette, and it's like 4,700 people. So, I mean, this is small town country folks that choose to say, you know, stay in a small town. If they wanted to move to the big city, they're close enough to do it, but they choose to live out, and we've got the best district in the state.
Well, I think 104 of your colleagues would beg to differ. let's kick it off here. Health committee, your first committee assignment.
Literally 15 minutes ago, I got put on the health committee, and they're meeting right now. But I told them I'd already committed to you. So
hear that, ladies and gentlemen, skipping committee meetings already. We'll see how this is going to work out.
That's right. You know, the speaker's been talking to me about different committees that, you know, it's just hard in the middle of the, you know, everybody else has been on there for a while and moving people around. And so he asked me to rank a few committees that had some vacancies, and health was one of them. So I'm glad to be on that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that could be contentious, especially coming out of COVID, right? Like, you know, people think health committee, but it is. It could be pivotal later on down the road, right?
Right. From what I've heard about it, has a good many things that do go through it, so that'll be good.
Well, Paul E. there, you'll be in good hands.
Right.
Talk about something else. So you wrote an op-ed for AL.com kind of about gambling and and I hear this from a lot of lawmakers. You voted for it, but you are going to vote against it in the election.
Well,
should it make it through the Senate, of course.
This is something, and like I wrote in my op-ed, I mean, I just got off the campaign trail last month, right? So, I mean, this is something I've been talking about since July. And we had several forums that we spoke at during the campaign. And with so many Republicans running, you know, we're all Christian, we're all conservative. And it was like we were all trying to out-conservative ourselves, out-Republican ourselves. And it just happened to be that I had the first question at the first forum, and it was a gambling lottery question. And I said, look, you know, as a Christian, I'm against gambling. I don't go to casinos. I don't do the scratch-offs. I mean, it's just not my thing. So, but I said at that time, I'm not running to be a dictator. I'm running to be a representative, and I know a lot of folks wanted to vote on this issue. So I'm for the vote. I'm for the people having the right to vote. So that the rest of my opponents in the primary ran hard right on that, and they said, oh, absolutely not. I'm against gambling. I'm not going to vote for it to come to the people. You know, I don't think we need to have it in the state. We don't need to have that vote. And I'm pro freedom. You know, I think the people ought to have the right to vote on that. I shouldn't shut them out of that. So I was saying that the whole time. And every time I said that at an event, people would come up to me afterwards and say, you just got my vote. That's exactly where I want it to be. And a lot of them were saying, I'm going to vote against it. I think we need to put it down and get rid of this talk. You know, last time we voted on it, it was 25 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, if it gets shut down again, it will quiet it for a while. You know, if the people have the right to vote on it, they vote it down, it's going to be gone. So.
Well, and then, I mean, the constitutional amendment is what people will vote on, the enabling legislation. Now, you know, that's where it gets tricky. How did you feel about that?
Well, you know, I know they worked hard on it for a year, and we heard about some of this in caucus. Chris Blackshear, it was the one that carried the bill along with Andy Witt, and they, you know, I know they worked really hard. That committee worked really hard in the off season, going around to all the counties of the state, finding illegal gambling facilities there. So if you think that we don't have gambling going on in Alabama, you're wrong. It's just not regulated. It's not being The gambling laws are not being enforced, and actually the state's just not getting anything out of it. So the way they were explaining it to us at the caucus meeting, it's a weird way of actually reducing gambling in the state, because you've got all this gambling going on that's totally unregulated, and with this the Gaming Act that they just came up with, they think it would actually reduce the amount of overall gambling in the state, but then the state would get something from it. Again, personally, I'm against it. And when we get it, you know, if we get it in the fall to vote on in November, I'm going to vote no.
Joined by State Representative Brian Brenyark here on the program. Representative, you just walked off the campaign trail, and I, you know, I'm as bad about getting in this bubble here and being myopically focused on whatever the hot button shiny issue of the day is. So, you know, it's gambling now. It's probably going to be ethics or school choice later on down the road. But when you're at a campaign trail, what were some of your interactions like?
You know, a lot of what they were talking about is driven by Fox News. You know, so we're talking immigration. We were talking all that kind of stuff. The national stuff that we're not going to be dealing with down here in Montgomery. So a lot of that was discussed, and just, you know, general conservative issues and topics were being discussed. And, of course, school choice was one of the ones that we talked about. And, you know, I'm for school choice. I think it would add competition between the schools, possibly. I think it would allow, you know, people to be able to get their kids away from a failing school and get them in a better situation. I'm fortunate in my district that all of our schools are fantastic schools. Our high schools are fantastic. And we have Fayette County. We have Hubbardville. We have Oak Grove, we have Northside, County High, just fantastic schools. The kids are doing great. They're scoring well on their tests. So I don't see the school choice being that big a deal in my district, but I do think it's something that could be good for the state.
Now, school choice is always tricky, and I mean, but I hear this from so many lawmakers on your side of the aisle, the Republican side. hey, I'm blessed. I have great schools in my district, and you know, but this is and it will, I think, in theory, help some of the more challenged schools. But Representative, the Democrats who represent those districts don't seem to want it. And it's like the conundrum, right?
I know, and I don't understand. I haven't been down here long enough to figure out all the ins and outs of why they take the positions that they take. But it does baffle me that the people that represent the people that are in the schools that would most likely be affected by this and have the most desire to move their child from one school to another, they don't seem to be for it. So I don't know. I know the governor, this is a big issue to the governor, obviously. I heard about it in her state of the state address. And, you know, I don't know if I'm as wide open with it, you know, the voucher issue and taking the state tax money and moving it to another to a public school, I'm no problem with. But moving it from, you know, taking the tax dollars and maybe doing a homeschooling, I don't know about that. And private school, I don't know about that.
Well, so, the accountability mechanism, you know, is and for a lot of the pro-school choicers, the testing was kind of a deal breaker, but this is, I guess, kind of a compromise, right?
I was actually at an event last night, and Dr. Mackey came up, and somebody was talking to him a little bit about it. I just heard him saying, it seems like if the testing goes along with the tax dollars and everybody's being evaluated the same way, I think maybe it sounded like maybe he was on board for that. So that would be interesting. Of course, we hadn't seen the bill. I don't know what it's going to be like, but you know, that might be something I could get on board with if the money is followed up with testing to make sure everybody's getting the advantages of it.
Now my struggle with it, and this is just me talking, and it comes from a very selfish perspective, but I mean, and then look, I have a 3-year-old and one yet to be born, so I'm not really dealing with this problem by any means.
Got five. My 28 down to 23.
Well, two things here. Number one, if you're happy with your public school, are you going to be as happy if other students from other districts come in? And my understanding is with this bill, they don't necessarily have to, school systems don't have to allow that. But, I mean, how does it work within a school system? You know, I live in Fairhope, and if somebody wants to come in from Daphne, is that allowed? I mean, I'm not really clear on that. But more or less, I mean, if they come in from Mobile, I mean, what's that look like? But the other part of this is, if you're a parent sending your children to private school, as it is, and in, you know, we saw this with Obamacare, when the government starts putting government dollars into the private marketplace, it impacts the market.
Right.
Will this cause private school tuition to go up for parents who are just, they're paying their taxes, sending their children to private school, and all of a sudden this money comes into the marketplace? And the supply and demand curve changes. These schools try to grapple with, you know, more dollars, more enrollment. Is it going to mean tuition increases? I mean, you see this, and these are unintended things. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it for these reasons, but we don't, like, I feel like, really have these discussions about this stuff, you know?
Well, it's going to be an interesting discussion when it comes up. It's going to need to be looked at. You know, and one question I haven't heard anybody talking about is athletics. You know, you already have situations where, like with private school, they recruit kids out of the public schools, recruit kids
right.
from the county to get them to come play. So are you going to start doing that among the public schools?
Well, yeah, and in the private schools, they're penalized, right? They have
right.
to play in a higher class despite a lower enrollment.
Right. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's all kinds of consequences that could come from this, and it's going to be some, I'm sure it's going to be some lively debate when it comes, but going to be something to look at.
Well, sure. and to the pro school choicers credit, look, what we're doing isn't really working. I mean, it's gotten better. Yeah, they're doing literacy and numeracy acts, and that's fine. But guys, you're still kind of running last in the pack here. You need to step it up. So let's just throw something to see what happens. Right.
Right. If it's something that can help, we need to try to do it.
Yeah.
And
Well, and we just got a couple more minutes here, but talk about this, and this is Highway 43 goes straight through the middle of your district. You know the saga with the West Alabama corridor, I'm sure, but that's way to the south of you. But ultimately,
man, we want this.
Is it going to be Tuscaloosa all the way up to 22?
That's what we need. You know, my district lacks any kind of industry, really. I mean, Fayette's got a little bit. We've got Pfeiffer Wire, and we've got a glove manufacturer there. But you can't get the products to – you can't get your goods to market very easily because you got pig trails that you're traveling on. And it would be great to have the 43 expansion all the way up through the district. Then we could have the ability to get and recruit some additional industry to our district, and we need that to keep them. We have a leak of population coming out of Fayette County. People graduate from Fayette County High School or from Hubbardville, and they don't have anywhere to work, you know, so they've got to drive to Tuscaloosa, or they've got to drive, so they just go ahead and move, you know. They're not going to drive 45 minutes every day to and from work. So we've got to get more business, more industry in our district to be able to give people an opportunity there if that's what they want to do.
Or just make that commute to Tuscaloosa a lot easier.
Oh,
right?
It would. And it's, you know, just safer. You know, that our roads are...
Well, there's two ways to go. It's 43 and then the other whatever
171. Yeah. And I mean, 171 so curvy. And just, you know, it for safety, for industry, we really need the four lane to come all the way up 43, go all the way up to I-22. It'd be great.
I could get behind that one, this one in the Black Belt. I'm a little skeptical, but Herzitti has been very kind. We didn't even talk about it, the best courthouse in the state is in Fayette County.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gold Dome.
Yeah, it's a real cool little picturesque downtown in Fayette there. But we're out of time, but thanks for making time for us.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.